OTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
We'll be right back. Hey, family, welcome to another edition of the Don Adams Senior Talk Show. And as always, you know what? I like to start my shows out thanking each and every one of you for what? For your time. You know why? Time is the most valuable commodity that we all have. And with that being said, I know that there's a million other places you could have been, but you chose to spend it with me for the next 2 hours or for however long you're going to be here. And I duly appreciate that. Absolutely appreciate it. I want each one of you to know that I'm sincere about that part of the show. Well, I'm usually sincere about all parts of the show. But with that being said, let's keep it moving, family. We got a pretty exciting show lined up for you all tonight. Let me give out my normal acknowledgments. Let me start out with my EOTM family. I want to say a shout out to Carla B., our leader, Ryan A., the First Lady of GBT. I want to say a shout out to the West Coast Connection. I'm talking about Jimmy EOTM Baker. The kid is on fire. I want to bounce around a little bit and send shouts out to Queen Yee, the sister of recording platinum artist, And I also want to send shouts out to Sweet Tea here in the Atlanta area. Now moving back closer to home. Ron, my man, forget about you. Ron and his sidekick, Mother Jenkins. Did not forget about them, of course. And also, I want to send shouts out to our newest addition to the family, a lady by the name of Q. I'm not going to mess with a name, folks, because everybody that knows me knows I'm bad with names, so I'm not even going to touch that. I mean, if she comes on the show later, she can give it to you straight. But I'm just going to say, Q, welcome to the family, lady. Very intelligent woman, very well-spoken, very outspoken. We appreciate that, as always. EOTM enjoys dealing with great minds, because great minds tend to think alike. That's why we're such a cohesive family. Our show information, www.eotmradio.com. Or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. Studio call-in for tonight, family, as always, is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say that again, 718-664-6543, okay? Shouts out, too, family, to my New Zealand family. That's right, family, we have folks that are overseas listening to my show, and I'm so happy. I want to send that out. Shouts out to our family in the New Zealand area, Australia, Jamaica, and, of course, we're not going to forget about the family in the UK. That's right, baby. This show is international, and I'm proud to say that. Also, I have a special announcement that I want to release, and I'm going to send it. I'm going to send it back out to you again at the bottom of the show, family. EOTM is currently looking for A or B-plus actors for an annual basketball game. This is a fundraiser, family. Basically, it's a celebrity basketball game. It's going to be held on September 24th and September 25th in the Los Angeles area. For those of you who are interested, for details, contact Carla B. She's our fearless leader, Carla B. You can contact her at 909-559-1763. All right, I'm going to say that number again. For the celebrity basketball game, EOTM is looking for A and B-plus actors for an annual basketball game to be held in the Los Angeles area. And that number to call, if you want to speak to Carla B and get the details on that, is 909-559-1763. With that being said, family, let's keep it moving. Tonight, you know, as you all know, I enjoy discussing and talking about social issues or those things that are affecting us, in particular the African-American community. But please don't get it twisted, family. I never forget about our Caucasian brothers and sisters on the other side of the fence, or on the side of the other side of the aisle, should I say, or our Latino brothers and sisters, and those other groups that are out there being affected by some of the things that we talk about on the shows. But primarily, you know, as African Americans, we are often leading the pack when it comes to the negative numbers in any category that you can think of, whether it be pregnancy, whether it be foster care system, whether it be the criminal justice system. Whatever it is, family, and my goal is to not attack these systems, but to just expose them for what they are, because I truly believe that if we got back to the family foundation, we wouldn't have as many issues as we do. Think about that. If we got back to the family foundation, we wouldn't have as many issues as we do. But with that being said, family, tonight's show, got a good show lined up for you. Tonight, we're tapping into the social system that's labeled the foster care system. You know, that's the topic of the show for tonight. But you know what? I got a special treat for you, family. Tommy Ford, formerly of the Martin Lawrence Show, is going to be joining us tonight. Also, Pastor C.J. Dale out of North Carolina is going to be joining us as well. And later on in the show, we're going to have a recording artist by the name of Lady T, who is going to come on and share some of her views on some of the issues that we're going to be talking about affecting our communities. And again, in particular, family, we're talking about the foster care system, but there's so many branches attached to that. Our young women out there who are unwed and pregnant, giving birth, children basically giving birth to other children. Here's a question for you, family. Did anyone know that after the age of 18, the foster care kids are simply released and sent out to basically fend for themselves? How many people knew that? A lot of people didn't know that. Some folks think that because they're in the foster care system, they've got all these huge advantages that other kids don't have. Not so. Oftentimes there is no social training. There's no formal education required of them, or no formal educational system in place to assist them once they move forward beyond the foster care system. And most importantly, There's no active social support system in place to assist them. Family, in my opinion, this is another social trap that we have bought into. So tonight on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, we're going to talk about it. We're going to see if we can not. We don't want to always think that we have the answers to all of the questions, but here's the thing. If enough minds come together on the issue, what will we be then? You follow where I'm going, family? Where will we be if enough great minds came together on the issue? I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines right away, something that I normally don't do, because I've got two callers on the line already. 909-227, you're on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Go.
Hi, okay. How are you? Hear me?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I apologize for that. My phone.
Oh, that's okay.
Basically, foster care system we're talking about. I was just kind of looking up and doing some research about it, being that I don't have a background in a lot of the foster care system, but I do have a lot of some input from some of the other people that have talked to me about the system.
Mm-hmm.
About the
I don't mean to cut you off. Okay.
Okay.
But let me say this. Let me start out by saying let you introduce yourself to the family that's out here listening.
Okay.
And then we'll go with that. How about that? Does that sound good?
That's fine. I'm sorry. I just kind of queued in at the wrong time. So.
That's okay.
I'm Q. Basically, I'm the what they would call the newest member of the West Coast EOTM. It's
that's
a pleasure
right.
to be a part of this family, and I look to bring whatever input and concepts and any connections or any input that I can bring to this family as well as to the listeners, basically. Anything that I can bring in there, you know, is what I'm going to do. But, again, I'm Q, and I am the newest member of the West Coast family, and thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely, Q, absolutely. It's always a pleasure. As I said earlier in the show, I mentioned your name as the newest addition to the family, and, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Lady Q. She is a welcome addition. She's a very intelligent woman. Very well-spoken, and, you know, some people, you know, when you speak to people, I always say that it only takes a few seconds for you to realize what you're dealing with, and I, you know, just from the interactions that you and I have had, I like your level of intelligence, and I like the way you bring it. So with that being said, family, let's give her a round of applause. All right, Q, go with your comments, babe.
Well, basically, I was talking to a friend of mine who has several sisters, I would say, from foster care system, and she brought up points about a lot of the people in foster care, not all, but a lot of them basically take on a lot of foster children for financial gain, which is wrong. And a lot of the kids come out of abused homes, and a lot of them, you know, they pick up the mentality also, like when they're on their own, they have children. A lot of times it recycles itself as far as the abuse because they have not learned to be loved. They do not know how to love, and I'm not speaking on all of them. I'm just speaking on some of them. They do not know how to be loved, and they don't love the children or they allow themselves or the children to be abused by whomever comes into the family, their family, I guess, boyfriends or husbands. And, you know, it's just like a vicious cycle, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right, Q. And, you know, one of the things I do have a social background. And I also was for most of my listeners that know, I was a felony probation officer, and I worked with a sex offenders caseload. And I also worked here in the Housing Authority in the Atlanta area as a counselor dealing with those folks that needed assistance in certain areas. Let me say this to you. Some things you don't need a social background to realize. Some things are just, to me, in my opinion, common sense. People should know that this is going to probably be the outcome. But unfortunately, you know, that's not the situation with most of us. But what I want to put out there with your comments is that you are absolutely on the mark with what you're saying. And we're going to delve into that a little deeper later. Let me open up the lines, Q. We've got some other folks that are calling in as well. 909-527, you're on the air with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Go with your comments.
Hey, what's up, Don Adams? This is Carla B. How's it going?
Hey, my lady. How are you?
I am super great. Can't complain. Interesting show topic. You know, I'm just listening in and don't have any comments right at this moment, but
okay.
I may have some later on, so.
All right, let's do that. All right, let me open up the lines. We've got another caller that's calling. That's going to come in. That's calling in for some comments. I'm sure, and I think I know who this is. 770-925. You're on the air with the Dawn Adams Senior Talk Show.
Hi, Dawn. This is Sabrina. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Sabrina. How are you?
Just fine.
That's good. That's good. Glad to have you.
Great. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, my comment is that, you know, I'm a founder of Transition Living Center and young parents, and I just feel that our teens and preteens need to be paid more attention to versus just put aside and not let the media teach them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know something, Sabrina, you said something that was very interesting. And for those of you who don't know, I know who Sabrina is. She's a very intelligent woman as well. You know, and I you know, was part of her organization for a brief moment in time, so I understand exactly where she's coming from. Now, I'll say this to you, Sabrina. You mentioned something that was very key, and I say this a lot of times when it comes to the criminal justice system, when it comes to just about all of the things that we're talking about, including especially where our children are concerned, we as parents become so inundated with television, and we forget that, you know what, television is make-believe. Things go on in life that don't happen the way that television depicts that it does. So oftentimes we try to emulate those things, and we take that emulation to the next level, and we forget that we have responsibilities that are not necessarily, matter of fact, should never be attached to what we see here and watch on television, because that's just not real life. And I use that example to say that when we talk about the social systems that I mentioned on this show, including the foster care system, including the child support system, including the criminal justice system, because all of these are interconnected, because if these people don't get assistance, they eventually end up in that system, the criminal justice system. What happens is we think that those folks that run those systems are out for our best interest. The brother on my last show last week made a very good comment. The government is not our friend, and the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. Now, that doesn't make us militants. In my opinion, that makes us in tune, informed people. What do y'all think about that? Sabrina? Okay, Q?
Yes, I'm here. I apologize for that. I'm here. One point I wanted to make also, yes, I do agree with you on that, is with the children in the foster system, when you push them out too young at 18, you push them out too young, they're not ready. They're not ready to deal with whatever social issues, whatever personal issues that will come to them, because it is a dog-eat-dog world. It's harsh out there. A lot of times when you push them out there too early and they don't have the tools, the necessary tools or the networking in order to become successful, they don't have the backing for someone to encourage them to do more, they turn to crime. You know, they turn to violence. They're homeless, prostitution, and drugs is another one. And you know, it's just it's up-and-coming criminals, and it's a bad thing because, you know, it's all the foster, you know, parents, the foster system should have something set in place for these kids when they turn 18, and they don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. But you know something, what Sabrina does is the organization that she's talking about, TLC, is her organization is – Sabrina, if you're still with us, Sabrina, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that Sabrina's organization is key in this conversation because what happens is she's designed, her organization is built around intercepting or getting involved with those kids that you're talking about, that population that has exited the foster care system. And in some cases, in you know, those kids that are still in the home and are experiencing issues, so much so that they're having children having children. Because let me tell you something, when I identify with children having children, I'm talking about those kids that are 25 and younger that are having children and have, in my opinion, no business having children because they don't have their life together. And you're not a grown person, in my opinion, until you're over the age of 25, living on your own and doing your own thing. But her organization is designed to intercept or to deal with those that with that exact targeted population. And what's happening is, Sabrina, before they come to you, they're exiting the foster care system, and there's a gap there. And what's happening is those same exact, that same population that we're talking about will fall through the cracks once they exit the foster care system because the state says, you know what, we're not offering you any money. We're not offering you any social services. We're going to just send you out there. And all of a sudden they have to make their own decisions and choices. And this is the result of what's going on. You follow what I'm saying? Sabrina, do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. I totally agree. There should be a mechanism in place for when they transition from the foster care and help prepare them for the real world so they can make that transition a little bit more easier for them. So I totally agree with you.
Okay. Absolutely. Q, what do you think about that, Q?
I agree with you. I agree 100%. Like I said, I do believe that there should be something in place in order for the children to be able to transform over. And I would call them children, although they're young adults, because they still have that thinking. Not all of them, but they do still have that thinking. They're coming from being a young teen, going to the malls or hanging out with their friends on the phone to having to make grown-up decisions. And one thing that I've learned, I was at a car company and, you know, wanted to rent a car, and they don't feel that if you're under 21, they don't feel that you're responsible enough in order to take their car. What makes people think they're responsible enough to make decisions when they're coming from an abusive situation? Because some foster care, they still have to endure abuse. You know, a lot of them run away, and they just don't have that mentality to where they can make grown-up decisions. And a lot of times, you know, they're easily swayed. So that's how a lot of them fall into the cracks of, per se, prostitution and different kinds of crimes, because they're trying to connect with someone, you know, gangs and things. They're trying to connect and fit in somewhere where they were lacking that love.
Right. And I don't think it's just in foster care either. I think a lot of kids are lacking love from in their home. And they are
That's where it starts first.
Right.
From
I totally agree.
Foster care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, ladies. Well, you know something? Here's the second of my show where I like to, you know, the family out there already understands when I say this. I'm going to take a fast break, and we're going to play something that I think is appropriate because it's driving me crazy. And at the end of the day, when we come back, Don EOTM Adams is going to take the gloves off. Now, for those of you who don't understand what I mean when I say take the gloves off, that means I'm just going to go with it, bottom line. And for those of you who don't appreciate my opinion, I want you to understand that my opinion is not associated directly with those other hosts with EOT. In other words, my opinions are my own. So don't go hanging this over their heads, hanging over mine. That's what they pay me for. So with that being said, when we come back, we should have also Tommy Ford and Pastor C.J. Dale joining us shortly. We're waiting on them to call in, family, so they can tune in to what's going on. But in the meantime, hold tight, sit tight. Let's check this out because it's driving me crazy.
Yo, you ever wake up feeling unusual? I mean, it's funny what a bad mood to do. I know some might say I'm not suitable. Or maybe I lost my mind, I'm delusional. I mean, when I speak, they act like they don't hear me. When I'm on the streets, they don't want to come near me. I'm just a little different, just a little weirdy. When I'm in the hood, be just a little weary. Or maybe that's just how I was raised. Trying to find me from Caesar to the grave. Dropped out of school to be around apes. They know I do whatever to be around apes. Started getting more cream for kicks and more jeans. More Viking and free weed. Need a little morphine, just need to put my soul in the cleaner. Please, Lord, forgive me, I'm on my own penis. Am I crazy, cause I really mean it. So all y'all stupid and I'm really a genius. We don't think the same, I'm like Josh Howard. I need time out, but it'll cost the game. Great nickel, coming to age nickel. Plus in my mind, I'm bumping grave diggers. I'm jacked up and I'm telling my boys. The room's spinning around like your mirror boy. So if you're looking in and you look at the way things look, it'll look like things are looking up. When I'm in the stew, though I'm cooking up. My heart's pounding, got chills, I'm shooken up. I'm out of control, basically a madman. Trying to make boredom, I'm working with a bad hand. See, I'm stuck and I'm bleeding. So there's really only one thing that I need to know. I mean, I really think I'm too crazy, you know?
Does that make me crazy?
I'm
probably a few different from anybody else. Now maybe I am. Yeah.
To the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about more hot-button social issues. Tonight we're going to focus on the foster care system, and we're also going to be bringing to the lines some information out there about some local organizations here in the city of Atlanta, TLC, to be exact. And also later on in the show, we're going to have Tommy Ford on here with Pastor J.C. Dale out of the North Carolina area. And I got a special surprise for you later on in the show, family. We're going to have Lady T., platinum recording artist, Lady T. She's going to join us later on in the show as well. But right now we have the founder of TLC on the line, and we also have some of the EOTM family. Lady Q has joined in to chime in on the conversation. So while we're waiting on our other guests to come in and get in touch with this family, we're going to get back with these ladies. And ladies, what do you think about what we said so far in the show? I mean, well, actually, let me just do this. Sabrina, give us some more insight about what you've got coming up as far as your organization. Hello? All righty. Lady Q? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Q, you still up? Okay. I don't know if we lost her or not.
I'm not sure
either.
What's your organization?
Okay. But, all right, we'll get back to you in just a second. But
hey,
in any event, okay, are you there, Sabrina?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Well, on June 26th, we have a family empowerment explosion where Tommy Ford and C.J. Dale, Pastor C.J. Dale and Lady T is going to come in and speak and motivate our preteens, teens, and the family. Our goal is to motivate the family to operate as a family. And we're trying
Sabrina, hold on a second. We're getting some feedback. Hang on one second. I'm going to take a fast commercial break so we can get this fixed up real quick, okay? Just give me one second.
Okay.
All right? And I want you to start over with that because I'm sorry, and I do apologize for that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Imagine going to court with no trial. lifestyle, cruising blue behind the waters. No welfare supporters, more conscious of the way we raise our daughters.
Okay.
Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These streets strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, the coke is cooked without the garbage. We don't have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine. Imagine that.
I free all my
time.
I love
when
people say that.
Black diamonds
are fine. Could it be if you could be mine?
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet
Tea. You
got a
step number.
The Talk Show.
On EOTM Radio.
I got to go back.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. Hey, family, check it out. All right, for those that are calling in, do me a favor. Now, what's happening is we're getting some feedback on with the system. So if you're listening to the show live on your computer, turn your computer off, all right, or go in another room so that I won't get as much feedback, and that way we should be okay with that. So that's what was going on, fans. We're getting a lot of feedback. We've also got some other callers that are coming in on the line, so I'm going to open the lines back up. But if you're listening to the show and you're around your laptop or your computer, move away from it if you're calling in, okay? All right, let's get this thing going. All right, 343, you're on the air with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show.
Hi, this is Tommy Ford.
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
I'm blessed. How about you?
Same, brother. Glad to have you. Very glad to have you. We've got Sabrina on the line already, and we also have another one of our radio personalities, a young lady by the name of Q. She's out of the Los Angeles area. She's on the line as well. And I'm going to let the ladies welcome you to the show first, Tommy. Ladies, you want to welcome Tommy?
Hi, Tommy. This is Sabrina.
Hey, Bina, how you doing?
Just fine.
Good.
Hi, Tommy. This is Q. I'm the newest radio personality, I guess you would call, on the show. Welcome you.
How are you, Ms. Q?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Excellent. Tommy, at the top of the show, we were talking about the foster care system, and just to bring you kind of up to speed as what's been going on. You know, on the shows that I do, I talk about a lot of the social systems that are out there that I think that we, especially as African Americans, have become so codependent upon. And I think that and not to pick on the foster care system, because I think that they're doing the best that they can. But we like to explore the avenues when it comes to the different things that are out there. And we were talking earlier about the foster care system in particular. And some of the things that we brought up, and I think I was connecting the dots with what Sabrina's organization, TLC, the role that she plays in dealing with those people that come out of the foster care system that end up getting inundated and placed on other additional systems because of their particular social circumstances. So with that being said, Sabrina was going to give us some insight on what her organization is about, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Tommy, so that you can give us your comments on what she has to say.
Okay,
TLC basically deals with preteens, teens, and young single mothers and fathers. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to, for the preteens and teens, we're trying to educate them earlier to prevent teenage pregnancy. And for the single mothers and single fathers, we're trying to educate them, train them, so they can be more responsible and be able to provide for their families. It is a process that we're going through, but with time and faith and prayer, this can be accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tommy, any comments on that?
Well, a few different comments. First of all, our people suffer for the lack of knowledge. I think it's so important to have organizations like TLC because it equips our young people with knowledge. It equips them with education. It equips them with the key to learn. It's amazing how folk don't understand. I was talking to my son the other day, and he didn't understand, Dad, why do I have to take algebra? You are active. You don't use algebra in your everyday life. But, son, you do, because life is about a formula, just like algebra. And I get out of it what I put into it. And the moment I started to take the shortcut and try to get the answer and reach my goal without going through the proper steps, without following the formula, I'm going to end up with the wrong answer every single time. It may appear to be the right answer, but once you break it down and if you don't follow the right formula, it's only a temporary antidote because you're going to find out that when you go through the process, you have to have the right answer by using the right formula. So often, our young people are educated through all the wrong systems. They look at the rap videos, and every rap video has a brother with several women all around him, butt naked in the jacuzzi, in the pool, all over the place. And they feel, oh, that must be success. There, because I see this cat with all these women all around him, and he's promiscuous, and he's all, well, that's not the right formula. So because we feel and we have these messed up definitions of what success is and what successes are, that they want to jump to what they saw in the rap video. So they're exercising many of these poor choices, thinking, well, I must have it made. I must be the man because that's what the rap video said I'm supposed to do. So they're just like that algebra problem. They think that they've worked it all out, and they think they got it all figured out, then they end up, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. So I think TLC is so important because it provides young people with education on how to follow the right formula because you get out of it what you put into it. So if I have a warped definition of what manhood is, then I'm going to be a warped man, therefore a warped father. If I have a warped definition of what womanhood is, then I'm going to fall for anything some knucklehead tells me just so that I can get the final result, which I need the attention, I need love, because that's who I am as a woman. So we need organizations, people, individuals, families who can educate our young people, who can help young men learn the true definition of manhood. Manhood has nothing to do with how many women I get. Manhood has nothing to do with those lyrics that I represented in a rap song. Manhood has nothing to do with the fact that I have a penis. That just makes me a male, M-A-L-E. For manhood is about being responsible, having the ability to respond intelligently, morally, and spiritually, and that's why I thank God for organizations like TLC.
Very well said. Let me see if this is C.J. Dale that's coming online. Let me see if I can bring him into this conversation. 252-767, you're on the air with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show.
Yes, sir, Mr. How you doing? This is C.J. Dale. How you doing tonight, sir?
Blessed as usual, Pastor. Glad to have you. On the line, we have Tommy. We also have Sabrina, who is the founder of TLC. And we also have our newest personality with the EOTM family, Q, who's joining in tonight to chime in on our discussion. I don't know how much of what you've heard, but Tommy was just giving some insight on why he felt like TLC was such an important and intricate part, plays such an integral part in the community. Would you care to share some insight on what you know about the TLC organization?
Yes, sir. I kind of want to think about what Tommy said. And the key thing, he said, you know, certainly we perish for lack of knowledge. And more than ever before, I haven't known Sabrina that long, but God is in heaven. And boy, I really appreciate what she's doing because of the fact that she has such a passion. And myself personally, I was listening to what Tommy was saying, so often, coming from a single parent home like myself, grew up without a father, and quote-unquote dealing with rejection from my father, not understanding why my dad did not want to be a daddy to me. I never forget, Mr. Adams, my senior night, one of the biggest games in my football career was that I look across the field and I see all my other teammates, and they had a father there. And I looked and I said to myself, wow, all of them got their dad there except for me. And I began to literally well up and cry because I'm saying to myself, man, why is it that my dad is not here? Or why is it that my dad don't want to be, you know, be a part of my life? And my point is that so often, as Tom was saying, is that even when we're dealing with our little young ladies, and then here in my area, we're like number one in teen pregnancy, unfortunately. But so often, when you deal with rejection, so often when you are looking for that father figure in different facets, and so often when a little boy come along or a young man with all these lines like they're in Hollywood, unfortunately, our little girls will fall and become a prey or a victim to that simply because of the fact they're looking for love, but looking for love in all the wrong places. And so often, even with my own children, who I love so dearly, it's a passion, it's a joy, you know, and sometimes I look at them and I sit and cry simply because of the fact that, man, I did not have that. So it is so important to have organizations like TLC that's going to help reconnect the dots or better yet, that missing piece to the puzzle to bring reconciliation back with our children. And I think that I applaud her for it. I appreciate it. And I think that it's much needed, not just in Atlanta, not just in North Carolina, not just in L.A. or Tommy, but universally throughout the world.
Okay. Let me step in and say this. I'm not sure. We're getting some feedback on one of the lines. And what's happening is it's causing the system to kind of go haywire. So if you're in front of a PC or if you're on a speakerphone, you know, could you, if you don't mind, help me out with that and kind of come to the line or get off the speakerphone. And if you're in front of a PC, move away from it or go in another room, because what's happening is I'm getting a lot of feedback from someone's phone. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm not sure where it's coming from, and I really don't want anyone's information to not, you know, be put out there. Okay.
Yes.
But I want to say this about what the pastor just mentioned. You know, and Tommy and Pastor, I know you guys. I don't know if you guys listen to the shows on the regular, but I'm going to give you a little history about my background. Q knows who I am, and so does Sabrina. I was a counselor with the Housing Authority for some time, and before that, I was a state felony probation officer, which means I did a lot of case management. And I handled that population, a lot of that population that we're discussing right now. But I want to say this. You know, what I have found in my personal experience as a counselor and as an officer and as a social worker working here in the Atlanta area is that there is a serious disconnect when it comes to the family, especially in particular with the African-American families. And what I mean by that is that we have lost our foundation. And I truly believe that okay. Hold on, family. We're gonna take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm gonna see if I can resolve this issue with this phone line. Okay. So stick with us, family. And we'll be right back. Okay.
Ooh, yeah. Begging y'all,
tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no, no.
Thank you, Colby.
We wonder who calls so damn late. For you to say I'm tripping, just a homie from my face. Don't he know?
It's
1 o'clock in the morning. You say, baby, it's cool. Oh, you say he's coming into town. He was just wondering if you and him could hang out. I don't like it, but I know I gotta trust you. It ain't cool, cause I know it's true. Maybe I deserve for you to go out and find some other guy.
Maybe I deserve
for you to stay out with them all night.
Maybe I deserve
for you to do all the things I did to you.
Maybe I deserve.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I deserve.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I deserve
for you to go out and find some other guy.
Maybe I deserve
for you to stay out with them all night.
Maybe I deserve
for you to do all the things I did to you.
Maybe I deserve.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I
oh
deserve.
Yeah. Sexy dress for me to ask you who the hell you trying to impress. For you to laugh it off like it ain't nothing. I know it's something, but maybe to sit at home and wonder where you are. Is it kissing you, touching you, holding you? What? Take a drink. Help ease my mind. I wanna be mad after all those times.
Maybe
I deserve for you to go out and find some other guy.
Maybe I deserve
for you to stay out with them all night.
Maybe I deserve
for you to do all the things I did to you.
Maybe I deserve.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I
oh yeah.
Other guys,
for you to stay neck until you let me know.
You better tell me
for you to run crying, crying out the door.
Oh,
to grab my coat and chase you down the street.
Baby, don't please
say it's not you. It's my own insecurity. I done faced you about 3 or 4 times.
Oh,
girl, I know what it put you through, baby.
Just through hell.
And I know, did I? And I know, did I?
And I know,
and
I know.
See, we men can't take another man's place in that woman. Oh, no, no. We can't even stand waiting by the phone. But we do the same shit.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show
on EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Senior Talk Show. Had to take care of some technical issues and on this end, I'm assuming. All right, family, we're back. We're talking about the social systems that are out here affecting our community, in particular our young ones, our children, our young adults. On the line with us tonight, we're fortunate to have Tommy Ford, actor, and I want to say community activist because you speak so well, brother. Also, we have Pastor C.J. Dale, who's out of the North Carolina area. Henderson, North Carolina. And joining us also, we have Sabrina Tuck, who is a founder of the TLC organization here in the Atlanta area. And we also have on the line Q, one of our EOTM radio personalities. And before we took a break, family, one of the things that I was trying to point out was that in my personal experiences as a counselor and a probation officer here in the Atlanta area, some of the issues that I've had to come across have been dealing with the loss or the broken link in our family structure. We've gotten away from our fathers being our men being fathers, and in some cases we've gotten away from our women being mothers, and this has had a detrimental effect on our children, in our communities, and we're broken. We're broken people, and I don't want to sit here and sound as though we're going to come up with all of the answers. But our dream, at least my dream in part, is that with enough minds at the table, coming together, someone somewhere will find a solution to their issue. We'll start with Tommy. Tommy, is there anything you want to add or take away from that?
Well, I think it's so important. So often you hear Timmy, as an actor, I travel all over the country and all over the world, and it's amazing how often I hear 100 times a day, Tommy, you ain't got no job. And it's so important that we have to understand that we all have a job, not only with my children, not only but my neighbor's children, my family's children, but any child and every child who needs us. We all have a responsibility to that child. It's amazing because it used to be a saying that said it takes a village to raise a child. I heard a great speaker one time say, well, one of the reasons we have our problems today is because our villagers are ill. There's some folk in the village I don't want anywhere around my children. There are molesters in the village. There are folk who are addicted in the village. It's no longer a safe haven for my child to just trust the villagers because the villagers are ill. And it's amazing how much illness and how much sickness and how much craziness is going on in our communities and going on in our village. So it makes it so important for those of us who have healthy villages that we not only have refuge for our own babies, but we have to have refuge for other folks' babies as well, because we all suffer. One of my brothers suffer, I suffer. One of my sisters suffer. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. So until it becomes our responsibility to look beyond just my household, then it's going to continue to be a problem.
Wow. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. You know, and I want to, if I can piggyback off of that, Tommy, you know, I talk a lot about some of the things that are going on in our communities as well, but I'm going to say this to you. No one seems to want to get invested or interested until it affects them directly. That's a shame, because you know what happens is in those other communities, it's not that the Caucasian family doesn't have the same issues. It's not that our Asian family or our Latino family don't have the same issues that we have. Here's the difference, family. They get involved as soon as one of theirs gets infected with it. In other words, when they see the issue, they don't sit around and wait until it spreads. They deal with it right away. My lady Q, you're on the line, Q. You got any comments on any of that, Q?
No, well, just one other thing I just wanted to add, if it could be any help for the listeners and for everyone, actually, is just remember, watch what you say to children and the way in which you treat them, because one day that child is going to be, is going to grow up and is going to be as old as you. They're going to remember what you did for them, the way in which you talk to them, the way in which you treat them, how much time and effort you put into them, what you educated them on. So, I mean, if anything that I just want to say is just remember, you know, if one thing you have to do is be good to children, you know, we say, because they're going to remember what you do, what you did to them, and they're actually looking at you. They're learning from you. You know, if you want something that's going to be positive out of that children, you have to invest in it, you know. Just kind of like with an ATM, you know, if you want something that's going to grow money, your money to grow, you're going to have to put into it in order for it to grow. So you just have to be good to kids.
Interesting. Pastor CJ, any comments, sir?
You know, well, basically, what you just said, I agree. So often, the thing that I'm finding out, whenever a parent has to deal with the unfortunate decision or see their child or little girl have become pregnant, so often parents have the death sometimes to reject that child. And I understand that, yes, none of us want our little babies or little girl to be pregnant. I'll be the first to tell you, we don't want to have to deal with that. But the worst thing you can do, so once you find out that your little girl has become pregnant, is to totally disown her. If anything, yeah, tell her that the choice and the decision that she's made is wrong, certainly. But after that, you got to put your arms around her and let her know how much you love her. And let her know that, nevertheless, you're still my baby. You're still my child. We're going to pray through this. We're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to get through this. Because the moment you reject her, you open up a whole other door for friends that certainly may be an unfortunate influence. Also, it can kill her self-esteem. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what I'm saying? Even though I may be a pastor, but we all have to have issues or things that we deal with or we have to battle with and solve, and we tend to judge this young and current generation. And sometimes we just totally give up on them. But we don't need to give up on them. We need to pray for them and tell them, little girls, little boys, no matter what, Daddy love you, Mama love you, and we're in this together.
Very powerful. Sabrina, what's up? You want to talk to us about that? Okay, we'll give her a minute. But you know what? I want to say this about what the pastor was saying, and by no means do I not believe or support what he said. But I want to say this, you know, Pastor, and Pastor, take it as a question: is prayer really enough? And I say that because, you know, sometimes it's hard, from my viewpoint, to look at someone and say pray about it without giving them something real something of more substance along the lines of a pathway to say, okay, not just pray about it, but let me just offer you a solution. Am I on the right track, Pastor?
Yes, sir, you are. You are. I agree. It's just like the cliche to talk about how it says that if a man is hungry, if you give him a fish, you know, he eats for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, he eats for life. And so I certainly agree with you. We know that, yes, for men should pray always without ceasing, but sometimes the church, you know, and I can say this, it's become so heavenly bound that they're no earthly good. And every day I see, you know, pastor leaders all across the world, whom I love very dearly, but they see little young girls and little young men that are hurting. And you're right, they're quick to say, oh, we're going to just pray for you. But sometimes the kids need that special attention. Just put your arm around them, let them know how much you love them, but also take them and be a mentor, you know, and help perhaps a young man that is veering in the wrong direction to get back on the right path. So often they see our kids slacking, and I'd be the first to say, no, I can't stand to see our young boys slacking. I'd be the first to tell you, but instead of always trying to criticize them and tear them down, every now and then you might just want to put your arms around them, or you might want to ask them why they're doing it. Because so often these kids, they're crying out, Mr. Adams, for so much attention, and sometimes they will go to the extreme just to get any type of attention that they can. Well, the positive, unfortunately, we know a lot of it is negative. So I agree. No, it bothers me to just brush you off and say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. No, I agree with you. Not at all. We need more than just prayer.
But you know what, I don't put other shows on the spotlight, but you know, someone made a comment, and he makes a comment on a regular basis that our generation of men before us neglected to teach the men that are here today how to be men. And I'm going to take this somewhere and connect the dots. I don't agree with that. I think that our social issues that have affected our families are just now starting to show up. We have, and I'm not putting our women on the spot, but I'm going to say this before I make this comment, that we need our women. Our women are the key. We need them. If we don't have our women, we won't have our society. We will not make it.
I agree.
Okay? So I put that out there. But I say this to say this. In too many instances, and it's not the women's fault, but things have happened and transpired in family situations where men have felt like, I'm not needed here anymore. And women have started to evolve and get to a point where self-sufficiency and independency has become their sort of their flag of their banner that they hold up and say, well, I'm an independent woman. Well, you know what? I'm glad you are independent, and I'm glad that you are self-sufficient, but you need a man. If you plan on starting a family, you need a man, because you cannot take a child and deprive him of the other half of who he is. Meaning you can never teach a young man, in particular a young black man, how to be a black man in society, and you are not that mold. I don't care how hard you try to do it. It's not going to happen. And so I think that what has happened is through the last two generations of women become, and I take nothing away from the things that they've accomplished, but what we see is the result of that, the result of I don't need a man. Remember that, y'all, when that came out, people would say, oh, I don't need a man, I can do it by myself. Well, we're seeing the results of that. Now, I want to say this. What a lot of people don't realize is that when it comes to the foster care system, when it comes to single black mothers in particular, they take statistics on that. And this is the information that they use to build their prison system.
Sure.
They add your children into this number, and they do formulas, and they create prisons based upon the birth of your children, in particular young black males born in single households. So now, if you don't think that there's something systematic about this, then I'm here to give you all a rude awakening. So we'll start with, is Sabrina, are you back yet? Okay. Well, Tommy, since you're here, Tommy, let's go ahead and start with you, Tommy. You got any comments on that?
Well, there's a whole lot that was said. First of all, I want to address a few things. The first thing I want to address is you asked a question, Pastor Dale, is if prayer was just enough. And I do not believe that prayer is enough, but it is certainly the paramount thing that we're going to need in order to survive. I think it begins with prayer. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. But it also says that faith without works is dead. So once I get up off my knees from praying, once I have saturated God with all of my appeals for help, I got to get off my butt and do something. I got to get off my behind and stop running my mouth and exercise that faith that I'd asked God to give me. So that's the first thing I want to say is it's time out for me, so I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is doing a little bit more than just sitting on my behind and waiting. When I go to a restaurant, whoever serves me is a waiter. And they wait, they serve, they move, they work. So if we're going to indeed wait on the Lord, we're going to get off our butts and do something about it. We can't just talk about how our children are going to hell and how our children are worthless and how our children are useless.
We don't have the right to do that if we're not waiting, if we're not serving, if we're not doing something to help solve the problem. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing is a tough one. Powerful thing that you just said is this, about the statement, how I don't need a man. And I think that's so powerful because how we have been conditioned to define ourselves, how we have been conditioned to define man and woman. Certainly, I believe a woman does not need a male, a M-A-L-E, somebody who just has a penis sitting around running his mouth. But as a man, as it relates to manhood, Mama can teach me how to be polite and courteous, and she's done a great job of that. Mama can teach me how to be a great student. Mama can tell me how to teach me how to be a great individual. But I agree, certainly agree with you. She cannot teach me how to be a man. So some of the great successes that I have in my life is not because only I worked hard, not because Mama taught me how to be polite. It's because after Mama, after my daddy left my life, my mom remarried to a real man who taught me how to be a man. So I solved problems in my life based on the way I saw him solve problems. I didn't see him run away from them. I didn't see him cower from them. I didn't see him screaming and hollering and cussing and putting his hands on my mama. What I saw was him sitting calmly, thinking, solving, and learning how to deal with these things. So that's how I solved them, because I had a perfect example of what manhood is. So I think that's so very powerful today, because there are great examples of men in many households today. Because in my neighborhood, I wasn't the only one who had a father in my home. But when I think about many of the folk in my neighborhood who are not in jail, who are not dead already, most of us were those who had fathers in our homes. However, it brings me to a very powerful point I want to make now is it's so sad. It saddens me because not only am I an individual, but I know quite a few other brothers, my brother and many other brothers, who are relying on the court system, who are relying on a judge, an attorney, to help me fight to wrap my arms around my children. It is so sad that we have to choose some man behind a platform and a robe to give us the right to be fathers. It's so sad that nowadays divorce is not just about us anymore. We've chosen not to be in a relationship anymore. We've chosen that, and that's okay. Sometimes it just works out that way. However, those babies did not choose not to have a mommy and daddy. And we have to be very, very careful about how important it is for us to win the battle in court and lose our babies. Because there are quite a few amazing, beautiful, strong men who are battling for the opportunity to love on their babies. And they are in war because of the court system. So it is imperative that we help. We really think about the future of our families, the future of our children. We all make bad choices, and like Pastor just said, we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But it's still so important. If we want to save our babies, it starts with me. It starts with us. And if there is a battle, let's not put the babies in the middle of our battle. We have to save our babies, and it starts with us.
Wow. Man, I couldn't say that. Wow. Thank you, Brother Ford. I think you might have missed your calling.
I tell you, man.
All right.
Tommy?
All right, Q. I know my lady Q is burning to say something. Q, we have another caller calling in. We're gonna let the caller come in and make a comment, and then we're gonna come back to you, Q, okay?
Okay.
All right, 770-367. You're on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Go with your comment. 770-367. You're on the show, you're on the air live, Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Okay. Well, go with your comment, Q.
Okay. Well, I do feel prayer is always great. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Do I feel that that would be the key to everything? No, I don't. I feel that we should, as mothers, fathers, mentors, that we should take the child and lead them. lead them to what's right. Everything is new to a child until you teach them, better, until they learn differently, until they learn better. So if you lead them in the right direction, they would blossom from that. And another thing as far as with the comment on I don't need a man, you know, I understand why a lot of women say that, but keep in mind, though, as far as in the perspective of being chiming in as far as a man, they need to stop looking at women, first of all, as sexual objects. Secondly, as they need more women, more than one woman, in order to fulfill their need or fantasy, and not to just use them for a breeding ground for just making babies, because, you know, you need to get away from men, you need to get away from that syndrome of that papa is a rolling stone. You know, you need to quit making families here and there and just up and leave. You make that family, it is your duty, it's your responsibility to care for that child, be there with that woman and help raise that child, because when you have a strong family unit, you're going to have a great empire. We need to really, really, really and truly stop looking at women as always being the one that's stepping in and not allowing the men to not see their children. Now, they do have some women that are like that, that do that, and I have friends that do that. And one thing I do tell my friends, before there was the child support system, there was still mom and dad, and there's always going to be mom and dad. A lot of people don't know that I have children myself, and my kids are grown. And I never asked my kid's father for 1 cent, because one thing I knew is that whether he was there or not, I was going to take care of my kids and make sure that they are well taken care of, well spoken, well educated, so that they will be productive individuals in this society. So there are women that do that. That's horrible. I do not stand by a woman who abuses a man that is trying to be there with their child. But you have to look at, you know, a lot of women are hurt also because of the men are just up and just leaving them as well.
Well, wait a minute, Q. Well, you know what, Q? Let me say this. Not to cut in on you like that, but I'm gonna say this. Most of the time, when I deal with child support shows and when I deal with custody issues and I share information with the fathers and the parents that are out there, it's not about, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but it's not about the blame game. Let's just do this for an instance. If you're sitting on the sidelines watching a football game, and you see one team on this side, you see another team on that side, it's fairly easy for you, if you're familiar with the game, to point out mistakes and to see things that shoulda, coulda, woulda. But if you're in the game, it's much harder for you to be able to differentiate and to see what actually is materializing as the game goes on. In other words, spectators seem to see more. So what I'm saying to you is this. Right now, we have a lot of people on the sidelines spectating, but we have too many people that are in the trenches that are just shooting blindly and not realizing what's going on the other side of the fence that's going to affect the decisions and the choices that they make. Where am I going with that? It's simply this. If for 1 minute we could take ourselves out of the situations that we're in and look at it as a whole, we can see how the social systems like the child support system, custody battles, the whole nine, these things are taking advantage of the fact that we as a people cannot resolve our issues. Imagine this. If two people have children and decide that they're going to go their own way, something like what Tommy mentioned, and the children didn't ask to be here, but you know what? Let's come together and resolve this. And if everyone says, let's resolve this issue and let's work this out so that we don't have to battle this out in the court system. Guess what? You're going to put a lot of people out of work. Because these systems that I'm talking about right now, the criminal justice system, the child support system, the juvenile court system, they depend on us as a people to not be able to resolve our issues. We are their moneymaker. And so by removing ourselves from it, and let's look at it for what it is now. These people are not our friends. They're here to make money off of the fact that you cannot agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I agree.
Absolutely.
Just understand that what I'm saying is I've been there. You know, I've been there. So I understand there are good fathers out there. I have seen it. I have been in relationship where a great father, and the mother just fought him, you know, tooth and comb, you know, just did not want him. I've been there before. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is before there was child support, there's still mom and dad. So if you take that child support entity out, there's still mom and dad. We still have to raise the kids.
But what happens, Q, here's the deal.
Yes.
I'm like my man Tommy over here. What happens when a man has to go to court and say, you know what, I got to fight just to wrap my arms around my child? Here's the question. The question is, to me, is not whether or not the mother is allowing him to see the child. It's not, to me, whether or not the father has to go to court to see the child. Here's the question. The question is, why are we not handling our differences in a better way?
Absolutely.
That's the question.
Not right or wrong. It's not taking sides. It's not even a judgment. It's just sad that we have to go there.
Stop letting the courts be a dictatorship. They're dictating what's in the best interest of the children when it should be the mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have some more callers that are calling in. Let me open the line up again. All right. Here we go. 313-303. You're on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. You have any comments for us tonight?
Oh, what's up? It's your girl, Lady T. What's good?
What's going on, Lady T? We've been waiting on you, sweetie. We have Tommy Ford on the line. We have Pastor C.J. Dale from North Carolina on the line. We also have Q, one of the EOTM personalities, on the line as well. And, you know, you're talking to Don Adams Jr., and I definitely want to welcome you to the show. We're talking about some of those issues that are out there. And, those social issues that are hurting us, working us over from the inside out. And I was just about to ask Pastor Dill if he had any comments on what we were just talking about.
Yeah, I did. Done. One thing I want to say to my sister, Q, I agree with you, some of the comments that you made, but again, it's not about who's wrong, who's right. It's not even about whether the father walked out, because with all due respect, Ms. Q, if you look at the recent studies and the recent stats, more than ever now, it's a proven fact that women are walking out more than men now. So my point, though, is that whether the man leaves, the woman leaves, it's all about the kids. That's the bottom line. You know, prime example, when Tommy was talking earlier, when he was talking about they asked me if I would take a village to raise a child, which is so true, but now in the village, you don't know what's in the village. So often I say, Don, that if someone touched my kids, and this may not be the route to take, but I would probably have a prison ministry because of the fact that I did not have that father to protect me. And thank God, and by the grace of God, I had a strong mama and still have one who protected me. And thank God I wasn't molested or in all these other horrific acts that people are doing to our babies in this modern day society. But I can rest assured that more than ever, you know, it's all about the babies. It's all about our children. It's all about protecting them. And I think that so often, you know, when we look across society, and more than ever, you know, I can proudly say that more black men are stepping up now. And it's a blessing. Now, certainly, do more need to step up? Yes. And I believe that it's coming. But I think that we need to be very cautious and make sure that, you know, we don't continue to just try and bash men, especially black men, and turn them down. Because one thing, you know, this is the truth, Don. It is hard, excuse my expression, but it is hard as H-E-L-L being a black man. And basically what I mean by that is that every day when we get up, you know, we have to work hard, we have to pray hard, we have to fight, we have a lot that we face already. And even though, you know, it cannot stop us, but yet still, more than ever, we have some challenges being a black man. But more than ever, I'm glad to be an African American. Glad to be a man, a real man. And again, it's all about the kids, and that's all what's important to me. Every day when I get up, if I can make a difference in a young person's life or anybody's life for that matter, that's what it's about.
All right.
So I also think
that we have a responsibility as men to accept the fact that we have messed up. And we're more sisters in college than we are now. There are more sisters because I can control whether I go to college now. I can't control whether or not somebody gives me a job. But we, as men, we have to also have to take the responsibility of saying that there's more we need to do. There's more of us
who need to be educated. There's more of us who need to be working. There's more of us who need to take more responsibility. We cannot just escape the responsibility because there's a few of us who are doing well. There's a whole lot of our brothers that we need ourselves to kick in the behind and say, look, dog, that's not working. You haven't seen your child, why not? And we have to be that for one another as well.
That's right. You know what? And all too often, Tommy, that's very important that you mention that. And I'm coming to you, Lady T, as soon as I make this comment. And I appreciate your patience, Lady T. But, Tommy, you know, one of the things that I also talk about is I mentioned, too, on the shows that, you know what, the social system, the good part of the social system is when you see your brother or your sister making that mistake, using those kids as pawns, or better yet, abusing those kids in the foster care system and turning them out on the street. Let me tell you something. Nothing happens in a vacuum. We as a society, when we see those things going on, it is your responsibility to step to the plate and say, excuse me, this is an example. Tommy, that's not right, man. You need to change that. It's your responsibility. And, you know, Martin Luther King said something that was so profound. He said that, you know what, anytime you see a social wrong and you don't speak out against it, you're just as guilty as the person that's committing the act. All right? Lady T, what you think about that?
I mean, I feel everything that y'all is saying right now. But my thing is that right now in my society, and since I'm 20 years old, it's babies raising babies nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of my friends are having kids at a young age, and I think that's where the problem is coming in right now with the youth and in our society that we live in today.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something, Lady T. You're saying that babies are having babies, okay? You
that's
think that's okay? And we're gonna agree with you on that. But let me ask you this, just for one hypothetical second, let's just say you are the solution. In your mind, what do you think is gonna work to fix that? Let's just give you right now what you say is gonna be the solution. Tell us how to fix that.
I mean, I think it comes down to the parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the parents have a lot of responsibility in that because it's not just my generation, it's the generations before that. Like, all of my friends that has kids, their mamas had kids at a young age and their grandmas had kids at a young age, and I think it comes down to the parents to tell them, well, when I was young, this is the mistakes that I made, and I think that's the solution to that. We got to get to these parents.
Okay, so what you're saying in effect is better parenting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because you know what?
That's
exactly what we're.
Moment?
Please do. We were wondering where you were. Is this Sabrina?
Yes, this is Sabrina.
Okay, we were wondering where you were.
I'm here. I'm listening. But also, there's a problem with the communication. I think a lot of parents are afraid to reveal some of the things they've gone through with their parents. I'm not saying they need to tell everything. I think they just need to have a communication line open where the child can feel safe or comfortable to address certain situations with them. And I think there's just a breakdown in communication between the parents and the kids.
Hmm. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I like what Tommy said earlier in the show. Tommy mentioned about the village theory. We've gotten away from that. Because you know something, and here's an example, and I use myself as an example. My mother raised four boys on her own. She did the best that she could, and it wasn't until I became a man on my own and had children of my own that I finally understood why some things happened the way that they did. Now, I don't take any credit away from my mom because I think that she did a wonderful job. All four of us are still alive. We're all doing well, and none of us have been in prison or have any intentions of going to prison. But here's the thing. The village, at some point, helped her because we had men in our life that came from out of nowhere when my mother was not around that said, hey, listen, your mother wouldn't appreciate that. Don't do it. And then you know what they would do? In our case, I would get a butt whipping in the streets and then turn around and get another one when I got home. But that's the village theory, in my opinion. We don't operate like that. Everybody does not want you to touch their children. Everybody does not want you to say this to their children. Well, I have news for the family out there. I want you to listen to me very well. What happens to your child that you allow to do what they want, that you want them to do? They end up in these same social systems that we're talking about. They end up down there pregnant. They end up in the prison system. And what happens is this. Because you didn't allow that theory to come into place, and this is my own personal opinion on it, because you thought you were the great parent that you were not. And I've seen a lot of it, because most men that I've interviewed in prison, the number one factor is I only had a mother at home. I never had a father. That was the number one thing that connected all of those men that they had in common, was that there was no man in their life to teach them right from wrong. Now, with that being said, if you, any parent that wants to live in a fishbowl and imagine that they have all the answers and not utilize the village theory, I personally feel like you're setting yourself and your child up for something else, down the road. And those folks that are on the other side of the fence are waiting very patiently for that child to come down the road and to put them into the system so that they can get a paycheck for taking care of them. And that's what they're waiting on. What do y'all think about that? Tommy, we'll start with you. Okay,
I'm sorry.
You back, Tommy?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. Well, did you get that last? Well, I tell you what, let Pastor Dale go ahead and comment on it, and then we'll come back to you, Tommy.
Excellent.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Don. Is that the fact that when you talk about, you know, I don't know, like I said, when I was growing up, if I messed up, my neighbor would whoop my tail, and then once Mama got home, Mama said, "Boy, you have embarrassed God. You embarrassed me," and it was almost like a double-edged sword. She got me for simply disrespecting her and making her look bad. And my thing is that you're right now, though, you have to be careful, because now parents, unfortunately, will fight you, jump on you, or whatever, unfortunately, if you touch this kid. And I think that's the problem. We have totally gotten away from that proverb where it takes the village to raise a child. You know, even then, we had coaches that were really role models. But now you got coaches, unfortunately, that are molesting kids. You have mm-hmm. teachers that are sleeping with 12 and 13-year-old boys. And you and I know when at that age, when the hormones are going haywire, and I know when I was at that age, if I saw a teacher, I knew when she was pretty. My point is that now, unfortunately, you're right, we've gotten away totally from that proverb where it takes a village, and I think that we need to get back to that point. And let me say this: I commend people like Tommy Forrest, who God has blessed and have raised him to a level unknown in his career, but he has not forgotten where he came from. And Don, I challenge every actor, every athlete, every lawyer, every doctor, every everyday person to go back into your community, get involved, find some young man, find some young lady, and mentor them. And I'm talking about really mentor them. Love them, wrap your arms around them, teach them the right way, and then speak life to them. Because some of our kids have been torn down. They deal with peer pressure. They deal with self-esteem and all those types of various factors that are not always positive. So my thing is that I challenge everyone to please, let's get back to this very simple, very simplistic concept where it takes a village to raise a child.
That's right. You know, and that's what we were talking about, Tommy, was I got back to your point, which was that, you know, we've gotten away from the village theory, and I know you had spoken on that earlier. And I took it a step further to put this out there. In my experience as a counselor here with the Housing Authority and also as a probation officer working with inmates, the most common thread that most of these men had in common was that there was no father in the household. Or, in some cases, there was no mother in the household. Because I'm not going to say that just if you have a father and not a mother, you still might come out okay. You need both parents. And the biggest point that I put out there was that my mother raised four boys by herself. None of us are dead. None of us have been in prison. We're all doing fairly well for ourselves. But the point being is that we had a village behind us. And this is, to me, in my mind, I am a finished product of the village theory. Because our father was not there. But there were men in our community who stepped up to the plate and said, hey, that's not going to happen. Because at the end of the day, when we're talking about the foster care system, when we're talking about the juvenile justice system, even the child support system, family, let's think about one thing. When our people get indoctrinated into these systems,
That 9 out of 10 means that something has broken or something went wrong somewhere socially in our lives. That's where we are with that, Tommy. Any comments on it?
You know, it's amazing. When you talk about that concept, I remember as a kid, I was a church boy. I was always in church. But Grandmama had a big family. Even before my mom got remarried, I had 6 uncles. So there was always a man that I had to answer to. And every time they saw me, they would say, "How are your grades? Let me see your report card. Playing any ball? You playing any sports?" There was, and out of 6, I had to answer to all 6 of them every single time. There was a sense of accountability, which simply means them saying to me, "I'm counting on you, son," and me saying to them, "Hey, you can count on me," and them saying to me, "You can count on me." I remember as a kid walking down the street. Grew up in South Central LA. And a little boy was right around 4th of July. He had these firecrackers. And I'm just standing there watching, like, wow, he got these firecrackers. And he would take the firecrackers, he'd throw them. Well, he took one and he threw it at a car coming by. Pow! Oh, my God. The guy stopped the car. Man, we took off running. Now, I didn't have firecrackers. I didn't have matches. I'm just sitting there watching. And I'm running. Now, why am I running? I didn't do anything wrong. But I'm running because I know daggone well to my mama, my grandmama, and my uncles would not approve of me being associating with any kind of foolishness. So I took off running. Eventually, I didn't know how to hide because I had never ran for nobody before. So the guy saw me hiding behind and said, "Come here." Now, there's another way I could have ran, and he's an older guy. He couldn't have caught me. But because he said, "Come here," I went because I was told, "You listen to your elders." And he took me, he put me in his car, and he drove me to my grandmama's house. He knocked on the door. He said, "Ma'am, I don't know you, but I was driving down the street, and these boys were throwing firecrackers. They threw one at my car." And she said, "Well, how did you get him?" He said, "Well, I told him to come, but he came." She said, "Well, where's the other boy?" He said, "I don't know where he went, because he had practice running from police and anybody else." Well, my grandmama whooped my behind, not because I threw a firecracker, not because I lit a match, not even because I ran. But it was so important that she had to teach me a lesson about associating myself with things that would give, that were harmful to me and to my family. Yesterday I was having lunch. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now on business, and I was having lunch at Ruby Tuesdays, and always stop and talk to young people. So there's a group of young girls stop, and they say, "Hey, aren't you that guy? Aren't you Tommy?" Yes, and I talk to them about their grades. I talk to them about school. And I saw them at the table looking around at one another. And I kept saying, "Well, what are they doing? They're giggling. Well, I've already spoken to them. I've already given the attention." And one particular girl, I kept hearing her say, "Go, you got to use the bathroom. Go." She refused to go. Eventually, she got up, and I saw that she was pregnant. It was amazing how there is a time, there are certain areas you go to where these girls flaunt the fact that they're pregnant. But this young lady who had already asked her about her grades, and she had told me she was an honor student, and I'd already asked her about school, and she had such an articulate young lady. And the ladies who were standing with her were her teachers. They were telling me how wonderful she was. But what was interesting is how she stood up, and she stood up with shame. And I remember saying to her, "Baby, life is not over. You made that choice. So as soon as the baby's done, you get your behind back in school, and you're still a winner, and you're still beautiful, and you're still awesome. You hear me?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You can do it. Now you have a challenge, but you can do it." And the smile that came on her face and going, "Wow, he didn't give up on me. He didn't look at me like I was a failure. He didn't look at me like I messed up." It's so amazing, and I heard Remdale say that earlier, that we all have messed up, and we all get a second chance. And that's so very important. One, that we know we have a second chance. Secondly, we have a supportive team around us. But then thirdly, that there is fear again. I saw a young person who was afraid. There was some boundary. There's so many kids that are afraid of failure. They aren't afraid of adults. They aren't afraid of being of authority figures. So there are still some beautiful young people out there who are making positive choices and doing positive things. We need to wrap our arms around them as well.
Wow. Very, very well said, Tommy. I mean, brother, let me tell you something. I'm just going to be honest with you, Tommy. I believe that you missed your calling somewhere down the line.
Many are called, but few are chosen.
No, brother, I believe you were chosen. I just don't. You know what? I'm gonna lay some. You know what, Mr. Fuller, I'm gonna lay some hands on you, brother. I'm gonna have to put some hands on you, man, and some oil too.
Well,
but now, Lady T.
now that you're listening to the Just of the Conversation, and before we get too far into it, I want you to think about this, Tommy, Sabrina, and Pastor and Pastor Dale. TLC has some events that are coming up, and on Friday nights, I like to allow people to shout out their businesses. Tommy, I know you also have a foundation of your own, and I want you all to take a few minutes, you know, in a few minutes, once I'm done with Lady T and also with my Lady Q over here, I want you all to think about how you want to put your business out there, because on Friday nights, people call in, and they usually, and I usually have my blog room, which I don't. I'm sorry, family, the blog room is not open tonight because this was such a this is such a hot button topic. I want to, you know, focus on what was on the board. So I want to apologize to my blog family out there. We do not have the blog room open. But with that being said, I want you all to shout out your business, your organization, and also for my entrepreneurs that are out there. The number to call in is 718-664-6543. Call in and shout your businesses out tonight. We're talking about something serious, and usually on Friday nights, people call into the show and shout out their businesses. Because, by the way, family, we have listeners in the UK, we have listeners in Australia, Jamaica, and in New Zealand that listen in to the show. So I wanted to put that out there. So, Tommy, we're going to give you a minute to shout out your organization in just a second. And then we're going to talk some more about what's coming up with TLC. We're going to put out their events that are coming up as well. But now, Lady T, what do you think, Lady T? Because I'm interested in what you have to say, because you bring a perspective from a young black female, not just a black female, but from a young black female. And that's why I'm interested in your perspective on some of what's been shared here. What do you think?
I mean, I just think, like, we just need to come together. Like, nowadays, you know what I'm saying, families is just not together. That's what I feel like. Back in the day, people used to have dinner, come to the dinner table, all that. They used to be closer back in the day. Like, my mom, she has, how many brothers and sisters you got? She has 6 brothers and sisters, and, like, when we get together, like, we do the big family reunions, but also we do, like, the immediate family, and we always come together. It doesn't matter. It could be Christmas. It could be Thanksgiving. We even went on a cruise, and it was for Father's Day, and I remember it being a Sunday, and, like, we made church on the cruise. It was weird because it's like everybody else is still asleep, but my mom and my uncle, Uncle Tuck, they was like, no, we're going to have our own ceremony. We're going to have our own church. And I think that's why me and my cousins are so close today. Like, I have a cousin that he goes to school in Florida. Like, a lot of my family is in Alabama. A lot of my family is in Atlanta, but we are still close. Even though I'm in Detroit, you know, we still talk every other day. And I think that's what's missing, you know, in today's society.
Wow, powerful statement, very powerful statement. And I thank you for that. Q, you've been waiting very patiently, Q. Any comments on some of what we talked about here?
Everything that was said actually was very powerful and moving. I do agree with the village thing, but you do have to, like Tommy says, you have to watch a lot of people that are around the children, watch what they say, watch what your children watch on TV. One thing that... Me growing up, you know, I had my mother in my life and my father as well. You know, I thank God for that. I love him for being that man that took the time out to raise his 7 children as well. But one thing that my mother taught me when I was pregnant with my first child is you educate your child from conception, and you make sure you raise your child when you bear that child. You know, it doesn't stop. You know, you don't wait until your child turns 13 or 14 and think you're going to be able to come into that child's life and think you're going to try and steer him whatever way that you were trying to guide him, because you're going to allow the streets to take your child. That's something that I think all of us as parents and even the people who don't have children, you know, it's something that we have to understand, that we have to stop letting these court systems and the law enforcement dictate what we do with our children, because, yes, they are going to be another member in the system.
Wow, absolutely. You know, and for the family that's listening, you know, here's the thing. When I do the shows, I don't want to just point out the problems or the issues. And so I'm saying this to all of the guests that are with me, which I'm very honored to have. Tommy Ford, Pastor C.J. Dale out of the North Carolina area, and also Lady T, Sensation rapper Lady T, I'm glad to have you are on the line with us tonight. Here's the thing, family. One of the things that I always like to walk away from with every show that I do is I like to walk away with something positive on the table.
something that people can use, something that people can put their hands on that's tangible. I mentioned that at the top of the show. But before we go there, I want to start with Tommy. And I want to give Tommy an opportunity, first of all, to shout out his foundation that are out there, and also to mention what's going to be going on with TLC as well.
Well, thank you. There's so many wonderful things happening, I tell you. I've been very, very busy. I have a nonprofit for youth called Be Still and Know Incorporated. And we do a lot of really wonderful things with literacy programs. I have a character education program. Do a every week I'm in a different city as a motivational speaker. Where if I'm not on stage or performing or on the set, I'm in somebody's church or school or youth center somewhere, letting young people know that they are beautiful and powerful and valuable and they're worthwhile. Another organization I work with here in the D.C., Maryland area called Bridge, El Bridge. And we really, this organization that bridges the gap between corporations, government, and community. So we want to be that bridge that bring those young people out of darkness into the light, out of ignorance into intellect, out of poverty into wealth. And we do a lot of great programs on how to do that, how to train young folk to be entrepreneurs and how to train them how to be great citizens. So I'm excited about being able to use celebrity to empower. Young people mirror the image of those they perceive are cool, athletes, actors, entertainers. So if what you got, if I have a platform for you to receive, then let me feed you with some things that are going to empower you, some things that are going to show you just how beautiful and awesome you really are.
Thank you, man. Powerful. All right, Pastor Dale. Let's talk about it, Pastor Dale. What do you have going on as far as your organization, your church, and oh, Tommy was going to talk about TLC as well. Is something coming up with TLC?
Yeah, well, Pastor can talk about it too. We're going to be doing it together.
Okay, let's run it, fellas. Y'all have the show.
Okay. Well, Don, basically, I have a new book that is due out September the 13th. It's pretty much a gift unto the Lord, but to myself, my 40th birthday. It is titled The Face of a Father. This book birthed out back in really 1991. My father died in 91, had only seen him when I was 5 years old, saw him again when I was 15 years old. And I remember being up in New Jersey looking over in the casket, looking at this man in the face with all these characters and these traits look just like me, all this physique and muscle and all this stuff. But yet I stood and looked at this man, I say, wow, man, you've died without telling me what my identity was. And so pretty much that was the only remembrance that I had of my father was the face, you know. And I have a picture of my dad, and the only picture I have of my father, it is a obituary from his funeral. And my point of this book is going to be pretty much a book that's going to be like a resounding alarm throughout the nation. I'll be in New Zealand next month promoting it because of the fact that I want fathers to rise up to the occasion and to let them know that when you're not in place, so often I say that our kids, they don't need just the presence from a father, the P-R-E-S-E-N-T, but they need the presence from a father, which is the P-R-E-S-E-N-T-E. And so often, if we can just get back to the place, again, that we are in our children's lives, and like as Tommy said earlier, and don't have to fight through this judicial system just to be able to hug our kids, but to let them know that I love you. And I want to say to father, You may not be connected to your kid right now, but I want to say this: do all that you can legally and morally to reconnect with your kid. And then once you get the opportunity, apologize to your kid. Just tell them that I'm sorry, Daddy messed up, I made a mistake. But now that I'm here, what is it that I can do to be a better father, to be a better role model, to be a better leader? And also, Don, I do a football camp about 10 every summer myself and some guys that I played with, where we go into different parts of cities and into the community where kids cannot afford a quality football camp and just spend that time and teach them the basic fundamentals about playing football. Football was my ticket out, and it was a blessing. And pertaining to TLC, myself, Tommy Ford, next Saturday in Talladega, Alabama, at the old Rich Carlton Theater, we will be there, and the theme is reconnecting the fathers to their children. And, of course, the director is Ms. Sabrina Tuff, and I'm excited. Tommy's excited. And Tommy, thank you for coming out, man. Bless your heart. You've done so many great things for our community, for our kids. So we're looking forward. So, again, Talladega, we're coming next Saturday at the Old Ritz Theater. Please come out. I think doors open up at about 2 o'clock up until I think about 6 or 7 p.m.
Very good, very good. Carla B is on the line with us, y'all. And for y'all who don't know, Carla B is the producer and founder of EOTM. She is the reason that I am here. And I wanted to bring her on board so that she could speak with you all. And she had some comments that she wanted to put out there. Carla B, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on, Don. Great, great show tonight. Hello, Tommy, Pastor, Sabrina, Q.
Hello.
Hey, great, great dialogue. I just wanted to hop on really, really quickly to talk a little bit about your organization. And, well, not really to talk about it in depth because you guys already shared a lot, but I do want to say that you guys are doing a great job. And, you know, our communities definitely need organizations like these. So it's a great, definitely a great look when we see celebrities trying to come out and do things not just for themselves, but it's for other people. So we definitely appreciate the advocacy and everything that you guys are doing in the community. Pastor, you mentioned something about your book launching. Definitely you want to stay connected with us.
Okay.
We'll actually linked with about 25 different organizations when it comes to literacy, urban literacy, and all different genres. So definitely keep us posted because we'll be happy to promote it. If you are looking for if you may be looking for a publicist for your book, definitely connect with us also because EOTM just launched a PR arm here on the West Coast. Wanted to throw that in there and just definitely say it again.
I said yes, ma'am.
I know I'm talking a little bit fast, but I've been trying to get on the show since the top of the hour. I couldn't get in because it was all jammed, and I see why, because it's definitely a great show. Don, do me a favor and send me the information on your guest, and I'll send them an invite to be on my show here on EOTM Radio so they can talk in depth as far as their organizations and different business ventures. Don has his own listenership, and then I have mine as well. So make sure we connect with that. And good job. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'll definitely make it happen, and I appreciate your comments. You know, and I was just sharing with the family, too, that the listenership that I do have, I'm very fortunate and blessed, overseas, Jamaica, Australia, New Zealand, and also in the UK area. So we're very blessed on that end. Sabrina, you want to tell us some more about your organization and about what your upcoming event is going to be about?
Yes, the organization is basically about reestablishing and connecting bridges among the family. I think you guys, everybody that's on this tonight, did an excellent job talking about the family and the village. And basically that's what we want to do. We want to go back to the basics where the father plays a part of their child's life as well as the mother, and just get that family atmosphere back into the family and just learn how to communicate, educate them, and so they can be responsible adults to our society. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Let me say this. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sabrina. I thought you were done. I apologize.
No, Pastor Dale already said it. June 26th, Talladega, Alabama. We need to come out to support the cause. We're going to have an extra time. We have Tommy Ford, Pastor C.J. Dale, Lady T from Detroit, Michigan coming out, and we're just going to have an awesome time.
Very good. Very good. I was going to say, you know, in addition to what you were mentioning about your organization, because I know that I've worked with you and personally with your organization here in the Atlanta area at one point in time, is that it's very important for the family out there to realize something. Tonight's headliner was about the foster care system. And family, you know, two things came out in my mind about the conversations that we've had. Number one, the village theory. Let's not just sit around and say that this child is not my issue. Because it's not my child. Let's not sit around and say, okay, you know, that's your problem. I'm not going to get involved in it, because that's not right, family. At the end of the day, that same family that's struggling and that same child is struggling is going to end up being your problem either in your pockets financially, because it's going to be getting up, end up in the system being taken care of, or they're going to end up doing some other things that, you know, hey, I'm talking the criminal justice route that may impact you personally or someone else in your household. So my strongest point is, you know, hey, rather than, you know, including ourselves in the game and not being and being short-sighted, let's try to remove ourselves from the front lines and look at the whole picture, and let's just try to see what's going on with this thing and how we can resolve some of these social issues that are going on. Q, what's up? You've been very patient, Q. And Lady T, don't worry, I'm coming right back to you. Q, you got any comments?
Not
not at the moment. I just want to say thank you to everyone. You know, everything that was said, Pastor said, Tommy said, Sabrina, Lady T, everything was enlightening and actually opened my eyes and my heart to a lot of the different views and ideas that you have. And I think it's wonderful, all the different organizations and basically taking time out for the children, because it is about the children, because they are our future.
Absolutely. Lady T, what's up?
I think everything that was said was good information, and I just can't wait to Saturday to be in Talladega for the whole event.
I'm looking forward to meeting you, too, as well. Very interesting. Also, I want to give some feedback here. Let me see if I can deal with that real quickly. Also, I want to put some information out there about what EOTM is looking for. It was brought to my attention that EOTM is looking for A or B plus actors that want to participate in what's basically going to be a celebrity basketball game. It's on September the 24th and the 25th in the Los Angeles area. For anyone that's interested in participating in the celebrity basketball tournament, can contact Carla B. at 909-559-1763. It's going to be held at the Gallen Arena on the USC campus. Okay? I want to put that out there because, and I know that the family out there has been calling in and the lines have been tied up, and because families may want to call in and shout out their business. Normally on Fridays, entrepreneurs call in and shout out their businesses. And we, you know, we kind of give them the opportunity to put themselves out there. And I know the lines have been tied up with people trying to call. And I also closed down the blog room because I felt like this was a sensitive enough subject to where we needed to devote our complete attention to. And so I want to apologize to the family out there that have been trying to get in, you know, and the family out there that has been looking for the blog room. On the line tonight, we have Tommy Ford with us. That's right, Tommy Ford, the brother that played on the Martin show. We also have Pastor Dale, C.J. Dale, out of North Carolina, in the Henderson area. And we have Lady T on the line with us as well. And we have Q. Who is he's part of the EOTM family, radio personality. And also we're not going to forget about Sabrina Tuck, who is the founder of the TLC organization here in the Atlanta area. And family, tonight we have been discussing one of the social systems that, you know, I call it the forgotten population. The foster care system, and some of the things that, or some of the different types of situations that I think we all believe contribute to our people being placed into the foster care system. A lot of dots have been connected. But before we close it out, family, I want to give each and every one of you an opportunity to give some final comments out to the family, and then we're going to close the show out because we've got 9 minutes left. And before we do that, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me tonight. And I always tell people this, because time is the most valuable commodity that you all have, regardless of what you think about it. You can never take back tomorrow. You can never take it back today. Time is the most valuable thing that you can offer anybody. And so I thank each and every one of you for sharing your time with me tonight, because I certainly do understand that in your perspective lines of work, that this was somewhat of a sacrifice, and I appreciate that from each and every one of you. So with that being said, Lady T, you've got the floor for your final comments, and then we're going to go to Q, then we're going to go to Pastor Dale, and then we're going to let Sabrina chime in, and then we're going to give Tommy the last final word. All right, Lady T, let's go with it.
My last final words, I would just say to the families out there, just you have to keep God first, because if you don't keep God first, then everything's just going to fall out of place. And what I think is communication, you know what I'm saying? Kids, you got to talk to your parents. Parents, you got to talk to the kids. And basically, that's about it. And once again, I can't wait to see everybody next Saturday in Talladega, Alabama. I'm glad to be a part of this whole organization, and thank you for having me.
All right. Well said. Very well said. Looking forward to meeting you too, young lady. All right, Q, let's go with it.
Well, it's been a lot been said, and very helpful and insightful. I just want to let everyone know, including me, we all need to stop being selfish and put the children first, quit putting ourselves first. You know,
We have to put the children first because it is about them. They are up and coming, and they are the ones who are going to be making the decisions that will impact and affect us as we grow older. And I wanted to thank the EOTM family for the welcoming love again, and thank all the guests, Tommy, Pastor, Lady T, Sabrina, Carla B, and also you, Don. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I truly appreciate it, and I appreciate everyone's views.
Yeah, absolutely, Q, and it's always a pleasure to have you. I'm looking forward to working with you as well. Pastor Dale.
Yes, sir. First, I want to say thank you, Mr. Don Adams. I'm looking forward to meeting you. I think that your show is awesome, man. I never, unfortunately, had the opportunity to listen, but I promise you I will be a African listener starting this week. And, again, thank you for all that you're doing. And, again, thank you for having us all on the show. And I just want to say, again, please continue to remember that through Jesus Christ, all things are possible, and love and communication. And remember that I'm not my brother's keeper. We are. We have to look out for one another. We have to love our brothers and our sisters and let them know that they're special, that they're somebody. And remember that no matter what this kid has done, I want to say to some parents that may be listening tonight, you may have given up on your child, but whatever you do, please don't. Wherever he or she is at right now, call them and let them know that you're loving and forgive them for whatever they have done. Remember that we are imperfect people, but we serve a God that is perfect. And please log on daily to www.thebush.org. Love you. Bless you, Jesus Christ.
Very well said. Very well said. Okay. Sabrina?
Yes, thank you for having me on the show. I'd like to thank Tommy, CJ, Pastor CJ Dale, Lady T for coming out and supporting the cause. I'm just going to pass on a little wisdom that my daddy always told me. Always keep God first, and he'll never direct you wrong. That's all I have to say.
Very well said, Sabrina. Very well said. All right, Carla B. Are you with us, Carla B.? Final comments on the show, Carla B.
I'm here. Thanks, Don. I just want to say kudos to everybody that made this show happen tonight. It was definitely inspiring and enlightening. My instant messenger and my phone have been blowing up with people praising you and your guests. So I would say that definitely keep your head up and keep bringing great shows such as this.
Thank you. Thank you. Carla?
Yeah, that's all I have. Thanks so much.
Okay, sweetie. Thank you so much for your comments, and I appreciate that. Tommy, I know you're the last one. I saved you for last for a reason, Tommy.
All right. Yeah,
okay,
Tommy.
No, wait a minute, Tommy. I want to share something with you. You can go online and Google my name, Don EOTM Adams. People always tell me that we look alike, man.
You need to, you know, if you look alike, we need to pray for you because prayer changes things. If folks would tell them that you look like me, two other niggas walking around just in a good way.
Well, you know what? No offense, but I like to think that I'm the good looking version.
Off the pole.
I couldn't wait to say that one, man. But you know what? In real talk, people do say that. But with that being said, Tommy, go ahead with your final comments, my brother.
You know, if anybody ever watched a show, they used to say that Tommy didn't have a job. And I let young people know all the time, never let anyone tell you that you don't have a job, because if they tell you you have no job, they tell you you have no purpose, no reason to get up in the morning. The Bible says without a vision, the people will perish. But without a job, you're going to surely die. There's a difference between my job and my occupation. My occupation are things I do to get a check. But when I'm doing my job, I'm about my Father's business. We all have a job to be about our Father's business. Martin Luther King said it best. He said, don't remember me for all the awards I've won and all the things that I've done. I want you to remember me for saying that I saw the hungry and I fed them. I saw the naked and I clothed them. I saw those who were in prison and I went to visit them. That's our job, to be our brother's keeper, to be our sister's keeper. We don't only need to physically feed one another and physically visit one another in prison, but many of us are in mental bondage. We're in psychological and emotional bondage, and we need one another so badly. Every weekend I'm in a different city. You can go to TommyFord.com and come visit cities as a motivational speaker and just wrapping our arms around our